This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Today is Transgender Day of Remembrance. It is meant to honor those who have died from violence against transgender people. Earlier this year, Time magazine featured a transgender person on its cover, the first time the magazine has done so. Time called transgender the next civil rights frontier, and there is a lot to be done. Here to talk about transgender issues in North Carolina is Chris Scrow. He's the executive director of the group Equality NC. Chris, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Rebecca Chapin. She leads the transgender program at the LGBT Center of Raleigh. Rebecca, welcome. Good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Chris, the T is part of LGBTQ. Where does it stand? Does it have equivalents with those other issues and other rights agenda and projects?
I want to be honest and take some ownership here on behalf of the LGBT community. The lifting up trans voices is something that we've not done well or well enough as a full movement for many years. So I think that you're really just starting to see the LGBT community push transgender issues the way that they need to be pushed and include trans issues in the gamut of LGBT issues that we fight for. So I think the short answer is no, that we've not always done that well in the past, but certainly there's a mindfulness, especially in the younger generation of queer leaders, of how important trans and gender issues are for us.
Some of those are making their way into the public policy debate. Wake County, for instance, is taking on transgender in some of its policy questions. Tell us a little bit about some of those developments.
Sure. So the city of Raleigh recently added trans protections to employment, I believe, and there are a number of municipalities across the state that are looking right now at updating their employment protections for public employment, so city or county employees, as well as access to housing, fair access to housing and public accommodations. So those are initiatives that are going on here in Wake County, in the city of Raleigh, and across the state. So we're working on making sure that where the legislature really is not picking up its job, that there are a lot of municipalities that understand the real basic need for these protections.
And it's important to point that out, that those protections are not in place. So it is legal in the state of North Carolina to discriminate against transgender people.
It's legal and all too frequent in the state of North Carolina that happens. These protections are critical.
So, Rebecca, tell us about that. In your experience, how have you experienced that?
I can only really speak from my own experience, and I am one of the lucky few who have been able to transition on the job. And quite honestly, when I had that conversation with HR, I could have been let go on the spot and I really wouldn't have any legal recourse or anything really to fight back. We're facing this kind of uphill battle just to simply fight for the right to use the restroom, let alone keep a job.
Well, it's a complicated conversation, isn't it? Because there isn't a box on the form to check in many places, right?
I mean, right.
So when you want to identify with a particular gender, or when you want to identify as trans, that box isn't there. Where do you start the conversation with HR? Do you start with the application form, or do you just walk in and say, "This is how I want to identify, and the restroom I want to use"? Where does that conversation start?
Well, honestly, you should allow anyone to use the restroom of their presentation. It's illegal in this state to do otherwise. When it comes to things like applications or intake forms or things along those lines, in a lot of my talks I always talk about, that's like pretty much square one where you can start making changes in your institution, because it costs almost no money to simply add in an other checkbox, for instance, in the male, female, or male or man, woman section. When speaking with HR, I needed to be conscientious of that fact. So I did it somewhat anonymously to start off with. And I kind of slowly moved into a direct conversation with them.
Well, Chris, as you point out, if you put the other box on there and I decide to check it, there's no protection for me. If I check other, you can fire me just for doing that right now, legally.
That's right. And I think that the unfortunate fact of the matter is that, gays and lesbians experience discrimination in the workplace, and I don't know at what rate, but it's a high rate, but I think something like 79% of trans people experience discrimination in the workplace. I mean, 90%. Okay. So it's a huge it's a super majority of members of our trans community who experience workplace discrimination, which is why we need these laws. These are people who are just trying to go to work, do their jobs, and have the most basic of accommodations made in order to be protected. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to offer that. It's just about it's about hard work, you know.
You're also, Rebecca, I know you want to speak only to your own experience, but mm-hmm. you are part of an organization. And so when we talk about 90% of transgender people experiencing discrimination, in what form? How does that happen?
Well, it's kind of the system is working against us because trans people can't obtain a job that pays them well enough to afford to go through a transition process, which includes updating your legal documents, updating your gender marker, possibly going through some form of medical transition, whether it be through hormones or a surgical procedure. So if you can't get all these things taken care of, which can run you upwards of $50,000 over a course of 3 to 5 years, It's kind of hard to expect that you would be able to get yourself into a job that pays well enough that you can afford housing and afford to live, let alone afford to pay for these added things that cisgender people don't really have to deal with.
And one of the complications here, I think it's very difficult for people to sort of separate the idea of genitalia from gender identification. But in many ways, that complicated step is the first step we need to take. I mean, it comes up when we talk about which restroom to use. I mean, I think that's the concrete example of people's anxiety over how to grapple with the transgender question.
Yeah, I think the conservative side would argue that the use of the restroom is a matter of safety or protection, when in fact it's really just a matter of miseducation, fear, and transphobia. Case in point, it is a fact that a trans person is going to experience discrimination or harassment using a restroom rather than the other way around. And as far as the biology, the chromosomes thing, like I get that chromosomes can result in a specific genital makeup, but to say that a Y chromosome makes you a man is a gross oversight. I mean, anyone in the scientific community could really outline infinite reasons why that is a misconception.
Yeah, not to get too caught up in just the conversation about bathroom, because really trans discrimination goes so far beyond that. But I think that there have been several hundred municipalities across the country that have passed public accommodations protections, and there's never been a reported incidence of any sort of the type of thing that folks on the extreme right like to try to fearmonger about passage of such protections. That's never happened.
We're talking about this Transgender Day of Remembrance on the State of Things. My guests are Chris Scrow, Executive Director of Equality NC, and Rebecca Chapin, who is a leader of the transgender program at the LGBT Center in Raleigh. You know, it sounds trivial in some ways, but it becomes the important focus of conversation again, because we're stuck in this binary, male and female, and we can't get out of it. And it all centers on these questions. And if we're in this binary and it gets reinforced over and over, Chris, I guess we in the media take some responsibility for that. What should we be doing better?
I think what you're doing right here today, I think a large part of the reason why lesbian and gay issues have made so much progress in the last, you know, 10 years is because people, they're heavily profiled in the media. People know other lesbian and gay people in their communities. It's really incumbent upon the media and us in the community to make sure that the people know and understand what it is to be trans. And I believe that we will have a lot of progress on trans issues once we start exposing more people in our communities to trans people, and they see how very normal it is to trans people to feel this way.
You know, we're about to have a conversation about solitary confinement, whether or not it's torture, whether or not and how it is misused. And Rebecca, I know that, you know, again, there's been experience in the transgender community about the use of solitary in the prison system. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, typically, and I've done some work with the ACLU along the lines of this, we are focusing on creating a case-by-case basis where you assess the individual, not the community. And because quite honestly, up to this point, it's a blanket policy stating that trans people need to be put into solitary because they don't want to take the time to really assess the situation and the safety of the individual. So they just kind of push them under the carpet.
It points to two things, I suppose. One is the misuse and abuse of solitary confinement. It's a default place. It's what we do when we don't know what else to do.
Right.
And, of course, it has profound psychological and psychiatric implications. But it also points to our confusion when we get stuck in a binary, what to do with the whole range of people who are not there. So how can things be better? And do you see signs of improvement, Rebecca? And how can things get even better?
I think improvement is slow coming. Quite honestly, we do have an uphill battle when we're, like Chris had mentioned, we're still fighting for a place at the table in the LGB community, let alone the heteronormative society. I think things that need to be taken into consideration are the idea of cis privilege. For instance, most notably recently is the Voter ID Act, which is very discriminatory towards trans individuals because, like I said previously, it costs a lot of money to change your documents. And if you don't have the ability to afford that, then you're being discriminated against to go to the polls.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Rebecca Chapin leads the transgender program at the LGBT Center in Raleigh. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Chris Groh is executive director of the group Equality NC. Chris, good to talk with you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, we will talk about solitary confinement and a new study that says it is torture. We'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.